Preparation for the End Time. Lesson 7. Matthew chapters 24 and 25. A powerful confirmation of prophecy. In this week, we are studying two chapters together. Chapters which show Jesus' view of the time ahead, of the end time, our time, as we will see. It starts with small talk of the disciples and Jesus. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. They said to him, look, have you seen those stones? Wow, our temple. Magnificent, glorious. Oh, our temple. And then, like a cold shower over them, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown away. This is shock. That's the center of Judah. It's in Jerusalem, their temple, the sanctuary. That's destroyed? That must be the end of the world. So when the disciples are together with Jesus on the Mount of Olives and are alone with him, they say, tell us, when, O Lord, when will this happen? It's such an enormous prophecy. When will this happen? They're afraid. When and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Because for them it is sure, when Jerusalem is destroyed, when the temple is destroyed, this will be the end of the world. Because that's the end of Judah, of the Judean people. And Jesus goes on talking. And the first point he's going to make for the future about destruction is an interesting point he makes. What is the first point? Watch out that no one deceives you. That's interesting, isn't it? Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. The beginning of birth pains. What Jesus was going to tell for the future, we can see on this painting. Things will happen which will be a shock for the people on this earth, because we are here small beings among nature when a storm is there. We are tiny creatures, helpless when nature is in disorder. Jesus foretold us, and now we experience it. enduring to the end. When Jesus talked about the future, he started with the theme, be careful, watch out, that no one deceives you. That's the first point. Watch out that no one deceives you. And then he goes on, after all the catastrophes in nature that will happen, that he says, then you will be handed over, verse 9, to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. It's unbelievable. What do Christians do that they are hated by all nations? Well, that goes together with the catastrophes in nature. Because these earthquakes, famines, droughts, and on and on and on. Hurricanes. Because this will be more and more and more. People discover we have a problem. Because we are so tiny creatures, what can we do against nature and confusion? And then the Pope tells us, well, we have made God angry. We have to put him to peace. We must do something about it. We haven't done something. Sunday has become a normal day. It must be a holy day again. Then God will be happy with us. And then all these catastrophes will cease. Sunday law. That's the solution. And it's foretold in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. We have there two creatures. One is the leopard with seven heads. Behind, the dragon, the devil, who manipulates everything. And another beast coming out of the earth. The first comes out of the sea. That's the first time that an animal comes out of the earth. And it looks like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. So it's peaceful first, but it becomes dangerous. The one is a picture, an image, a parable of the papacy, the other, a parable of the United States of America. And the United States will be the first to put forward this decree, Sunday law, in order that all these catastrophes will cease. And all the nations of the earth will follow. And you should do it, shouldn't you, to keep Sunday holy. And they force you to do it, otherwise they say, we will kill you if you don't agree with us. And Jesus says, watch out that you are not deceived. Do not go with the many. Go on the narrow path. The way, we are here told, is like the talking of Jesus on the mountain when he said, two men built a house, one on sand and one on the rock. In the peaceful days, no difference. This one lived in the house and this one. But then the crisis came. Catastrophes. Rain pouring down. The one built on the sand, whoosh, broke it to pieces. The one built on the rock, steadfast. Build your house on the rock, Jesus said. Believe in me, follow me, love me, and keep my commandments. Then you will be safe in a time of crisis. The abomination of desolation. Now that's an interesting word. Abomination. Where does this come from? Matthew chapter 24. Verse 15. Words of Jesus. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel. Let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. The abomination that causes desolation. What on earth is that? The Roman flag was an abomination for the Jews because it was stuck in Jerusalem on a hill so that every Jew could see the Roman eagle. And the flag of the Romans said, we are the conquerors. We are here. And you are the little ones, and we are the big ones. We are important, you are unimportant. And you give us your money to Rome. And therefore, it was for the Jews an abomination. And it causes desolation in Judah. In Judean countries. So, in this Judea, Jesus says, when you see that the Romans come with their army, conquering Jerusalem, it would happen in 40 years onwards, then try to fly away as fast as you can. Flee. Run. Don't take anything. Do not run back to get this or that. Just whoosh, run. It's time for the flight. Now, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army in 70 AD, Christians weren't hurt because they listened to Jesus' words and they whoosh, disappeared. And this picture of destroying Jerusalem, this parable, is a parable for the end of the world when it will be destroyed. And in the following verses, Jesus gone from the destruction of Jerusalem to the destruction of this planet. Interesting. So this is the great picture. So, what is the abomination of desolation that causes desolation in the end time? That's interesting. The political realm had a flag, the eagle. In the end time, the spiritual realm, the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church, shows the flag too. It's the Sunday law. That's the abomination that causes desolation in the last days. And when this happens, then we know the end time is near. Jesus said, Look at the prophet Daniel. It's important to study it. And Daniel and Revelation, they belong together. In preparing for the end time, we need to study these two books. They will help us getting through this final crisis. Have a look at the prophet Daniel, Jesus said. The 10 virgins. In talking about the end time, Jesus told a story, a parable, about 10 virgins waiting for a bridegroom to come, and they made their lamps ready because it was evening, became dark, and they wanted to lighten up the whole ceremony. 10 virgins. But then he doesn't appear. And because it's dark and during the day everybody had to work, they get tired and they all fell to sleep. At midnight, they suddenly are wide awake. Bridegroom comes. Make your lamps ready. And then 5 of the 10 virgins discover, our lamps, the light, our oil, it's gone. It has taken so long. And the other 5, they have enough. And then these, they are of interest for the others. They say, well, we need oil. Please hand it over to us. That's not possible, because if we do this, then we ourselves do not have enough. You must go for yourself and buy. And they do that. When they come back, no one here. They run to the door, hammer on it. It is closed. Too late. That's the story as Jesus told it. The listeners were astonished. Now, what's going on now? The lamps, the word of God. Your word is the light for my feet. We read in Psalm 119. And the oil, a parable for the Holy Spirit. And all of them wait for the return of Christ. This is the parable. All of them have Bibles in their hands. All of them have the Holy Spirit. What's the problem then? Why are they lost? Why are they not let in? They have the Holy Spirit, but not enough of the Holy Spirit. Not enough. Why not? What do you have to do that you have enough Holy Spirit? The Apostle Paul says, let yourself be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled. Completely filled. Full. Now, this is a work of a daily program. Not once in a while and after a month and then again. A daily program. Daily studying this word is filling up your tank with oil. Then you will discover things. Then you will find out, I should do this. But how could I manage? But Jesus would like me to do it. Okay, I try. And then you make an experience. This is filling the tank. And next one. And you discover the next truth. And you act according to it. You make experiences with your Lord. You're filling your tank more and more and more. And when a time of crisis comes, you're prepared. You can't fill up a tank in minutes, in hours. It's too late then. Either you're too old then, or Jesus comes too early in your eyes. You are in time trouble. You don't have the time. But now you have it. How do you use your time? Use it now for coming close to Christ, coming in Christ. Then you will be prepared for the time of crisis. Using your talents. In preparing for the end time, Jesus told us interesting stories. One is just the following of the parable of the 10 virgins. It's the parable of the talents. Again, Jesus says it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. The one he gave 5 talents, the next one gets 2, and the third one gets 1. And then this man disappears. So the first one starts working. And the second one starts working with his talents. And the third one, he digs a hole and puts it in there. That's it. After a long time, this man comes back and calls his servants. Now, what have you done with that, what I've given you? And the first one says, well, I've got 5, and now I've got 10. Oh, good, fine. He is told, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That's something, isn't it? Next one. What about you? I've got 2, and I've doubled them. I've got 4 now. Well done. Yeah? Share this time in your master's happiness. Then the third one comes with the 1 talent. Yeah? What about it? Well, I have made a hole, have put it there, and here you have it again. You haven't done anything with it? You are an unfaithful servant. Away with you. And what about the talent? The one with the 5 who has 10 now will get 11. Interesting. What is the sense of this parable? Jesus has entrusted us with talents, hasn't he? We, when we are born from our parents, grandparents, and so on, great-grandparents, we have received genes, talents. What are you going to do with it? Jesus says, use your talents. Use them. Use them in my service. Use them for me. Everything you use for Jesus will become more and more and more. You will be able to do things you've never even dreamed of. Just do it. Go on. Use your talents. The time will come when your master will ask you, what have you done with all the gifts I've given to you? What do you say then? I've made a hole and have left it there. Is that all you can say then? Is this the sense of your life? When you look back in your deathbed, what is your sense in life? What have you done for your master? to now. Preparation for the end time means using your talents for the master. Then he will multiply it. That makes sense, doesn't it? Summary. Preparation for the end time. What have you learned? What have we learned when we heard Jesus telling us stories about the end time? The time will come. The time when we will see and watch the cloud. The time will come, and it will become bigger when it comes nearer to the planet Earth. And when it comes even nearer, closer, we will see, Jesus and his angels, they're coming to snatch us, to catch us, to take us with them. Oh, this will be a time when we shout, hallelujah, glory. Will you be one of those who will be taken by the angels to the cloud? Will you be one of those? Jesus said that all these catastrophes in nature will continue and continue and will grow and more quicker and more and more and more. It will be chaos everywhere, especially in the United States. Before that, we read in Revelation chapter 7 that four angels encircle this planet, and they are just about to let the winds go. This means to let all these catastrophes of nature explode upon our planet. And then Jesus appears. They are just about to let loose. And then what does Jesus say? Wait. Wait. Before that, we want to seal our followers with the Holy Spirit. There is a time window opened. A time window. The last one before these winds are let loose. What have you heard? 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 are stupid. The wise ones have filled their tank to have enough oil so that the lamps keep burning. Have you filled your tank? Have you multiplied your talents because you want to serve your Lord with your talents? Then he will multiply it. Have you built your house on the rock? Or is it on the sand and will be blown away when these angels start with their devastating work? When this time comes, it's already here, but it will become even more furious and more furious and more furious. Then we will discover, who are we? How can we survive? How can we? Yeah, we can survive when we are sealed, when Jesus comes back, when he returns. with his angels. Then he will send them out and will take us out here. And those who are taken out are saved. The rest, they will be lost. Lost forever. To whom, to which group will you belong to?